Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Hallelujah. We should all be well versed with the redemptive plan of God for mankind. And just for time, I'm just going to brush over it, because if we're going to go through the whole redemptive plan, we could be here until the middle of next week. But, you know, as you go through the details, you go into the Old Testament and start picking up on the high points of what happened, that redemptive plan. Number one, man fell in sin in the garden and lost their right standing with God. They lost that place. God immediately, number two, set his rescue plan in motion. And of course, as we can see there, even from the foundation of the world, we know that the Lamb was slain. God immediately set his rescue plan in motion, declaring that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. In other words, there was a plan, something was going to turn this around, it was going to come from the seed of the woman. And of course, number three, all the covenants that the Lord made with man, right through the Old Testament. You read the Old Testament, it's all the covenants that God made with man through the ages were the design of bringing God's answer, God's Savior into the world, providing a covering for sin in the meantime, but pointing the way to Jesus, who would take away our sin. Hallelujah. Number four, Jesus is born to the Virgin Mary. He was sinless by virtue of the virgin birth. Not just because he was God, but he came into the world in that manner. The seed of the woman, as was prophesied in Genesis. God made, God became a man and dwelt among us, as we read in the Gospel of John. And of course, at the River Jordan, John the Baptist confirms Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And of course, his last words on the cross were what? It is finished. It is finished. We understand, you know, the redemptive plan of God being fulfilled in that one act on the cross. It is finished. And, you know, the way for mankind to come back into relationship with God is now available. You know, for mankind who's been separated from God can come back into relationship with God. There's no more works that we need to do but to just come and believe. Hallelujah. I tell you, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, there's no other pathway to God. Very topical, this subject. There's a lot of deception out there at the moment about there being other ways to God, you know, other ways through to him. But there is no other pathway to God, not through any man or religion, not through Buddha, not through Allah, I tell you, not through New Age. There's no other way through to God. No, it's only through the substitutionary sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth that we find the way into the relationship with God and grow in intimacy with him. It's the only way. Amen. Amen. The apostle Thomas says to Jesus, how can we know the way? How can we know? And of course, Jesus answered in John 14:6, Lord, said Thomas, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's so very clear, isn't it? No one's coming to God but through Jesus. Amen. And then he goes on, he says, if you'd known me, you would have known my Father. How about that? It's not there, but in verse 7, if you'd have known me, you would have known my Father. In other words, Jesus was God in the flesh. And if you wanted to know God, just get to know Jesus. He's just like that. And I like John 3:16, and what would be an Easter message without John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, or eternal life, as this translation says. And you know, I always say this, if people want to know where God stands on sin, and it's a little bit topical in the world at the moment, you go out there into current affairs at the moment, and we have sportsmen coming out and saying some things in the media, and of course it's quite the conversation for this Easter, I'm sure, around many a Easter meal. But I say this, if we want to know where God stands on sin, how he sees sinners, we need to read John 3:16. But we also need to read further on from John 3:16, because it's very enlightening. A lot of us stop at John 3:16. They've got T-shirts that say John 3:16 around the place, but not many of them talk about John 3:17, and not many talk about John 3:18 either. Look what it says. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God's intent, here's God's purpose. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned. Who's doing? They're doing. Because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. That's the judgment, right there. If you wonder what the judgment is, the judgment that will actually send someone into an eternity without Christ, without God, there's the judgment right there, because they didn't believe. And that's our message. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's our message to those that are outside the church. You know, if we start condemning people for what they're doing, where do we stop? The next thing you know, we'll all be pointing guns at ourselves as well, because we're all guilty. Amen. So we've got to get out with the message. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The gospel we present should be on the basis of God's kindness, because it is his kindness that leads us to repentance. We see in Romans 2 in verse 4. You see, it's a gospel of peace. God initiated peace with mankind through Jesus Christ. And over in the book of Acts, in chapter 10, we see the apostle Peter ministering the truth of the gospel out of a fresh revelation. And I like this particularly. It's out of a fresh revelation that he's had. And you know, that revelation is simply this, that salvation is not just for the Jews. You know, it's not an exclusive thing for those that have been in covenant through the Old Testament. And of course, appealing to the fact that you know, this salvation is of the Jews. Peter had a fresh revelation. And he said it's for the Gentiles as well. And here is the Apostle Peter in the household of Cornelius, the Roman centurion. He's got no inheritance at all in the kingdom of God as far as his nationality is concerned, and a concerning that Jewish position. And look what it says, Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. And then Peter began to speak, "I now truly understand that God does not show favoritism." You know, if you think that God's showing favoritism to one person or one type of person or a person that's at this station in life or that station in life, you're entirely wrong, because it says here God doesn't show any favoritism. Amen. "But welcomes those from every nation who fear him and do what is right. He has sent this message to the people of Israel, proclaiming the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Verse 37, "You yourselves know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee with the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him." Amen. And not that we should stop there. It goes on. "And we are witnesses of all that he did." His, you know, eyewitnesses are speaking, Peter being one of them. "And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And although they put him to death by hanging him on a tree, God raised him up on the third day and caused him to be seen. And not by all people, but by the witnesses God had chosen beforehand, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Very, very clear. We can't get this mixed up. You know, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. "And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard this message." Now, that's the bit that we like, isn't it? You know, when the Holy Spirit turns up, and you're having yourselves a meeting, or you're witnessing to someone, and you know, it's not just goosebumps to you, it's the Lord doing something in someone's heart. That's the part we like, isn't it? I know it's the part I like, you know, when I just know that it's no longer up to me to convince anyone or have a really good apologetics position, but rather God just turns up and falls on them, and their heart goes to conviction. What shall I do? What do I need to do? Well, there's a simple prayer that we can pray. And that invitation is for you today. If you've never prayed that prayer, it's a simple prayer. It's called the prayer of salvation. And it's a prayer that takes us out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of God's dear Son and makes us in His camp. We're now in His camp. We're now the redeemed. And we can say so. Hallelujah. And, you know, as we receive communion today, as I said, I didn't want to go long today. As we receive communion this morning, it's important that we understand the redemptive plan of God. But more important, that we say so. Psalm 107, verse 1 to 3 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, as we should today. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving devotion endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from the north and the south." You want to know what's going on at the moment? He's gathering His people. He's gathering the redeemed. And He's gathering them from every nation, from every point of the compass. He's gathering His people. And they're called the redeemed. Amen. Let's receive the elements today with these thoughts in our heart. Is there a change in my life that I need to actually make? Is there some attitude that I've got that I need to adjust? Is there some heart condition that I might have that needs to be just changed and maybe given over to the Lord again as we consider how good He is, amen, and what He's done for us in Christ Jesus. Let's all stand and come and serve ourselves as a communion. The broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He was, He bore our iniquities, and of course His body was broken. The Bible talks about His stripes that He received. The Bible says that by His stripes we are healed. We know that in that work of His upon the cross, there was healing made available, a provision for physical healing in our bodies. And of course, the cup that represents the shed blood, and of course, by which we're forgiven. So we give thanks today. We're a people that ought to be very grateful for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And I like to read from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, because the Apostle Paul is saying this is a revelation of the communion service that he received. And he says it very clearly. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." He's not saying he got it from the apostles in Jerusalem. It's when you have a church service, guys, now this is how you do it. You have the cup and the bread over here. No, he received a revelation of the communion service. And I like it for that reason. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He'd given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's remember the Lord together this Good Friday for His great work upon the cross and eat of this bread together as a symbol. Father, we thank You today. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the bread and what it represents, Lord God. We thank You that it represents the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ and the stripes that You received, Lord God, in the lead up to that crucifixion, Lord. We thank You, Father God, that through it, Lord God, provision was made for us, for Your people, Lord God. The forgiveness of our sins, Lord God, and also healing in our physical bodies. So, Father, we may freely receive what You have for us. So, Lord God, help our faith soar, Lord God. Every time we take of the cup and the bread, Lord, let our faith rise to receive that which You've already provided for us. We give You thanks today, Lord. And in the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Let's just give thanks. And we do, Lord God. We thank You for the blood that was shed. Lord, the new covenant that we enjoy, Lord God. And Lord, the fact that we've been redeemed by this precious price that was paid for us, Lord. That we're a people, Lord God, that have been set apart, Father. Lord God, that we've been sanctified, Lord God, by that work upon the cross, Lord. set apart for your use, Lord God, and for your purposes and pursuits, Lord. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you in these days, Lord God, that we live, that, Lord, your purposes and plans for us individually are being established and settled, Lord, for each and every single one of us, Lord. Lord, where there might be an inquiry in our hearts, Lord God, about what's going on in the world and the changes in circumstances for your church, Lord God, Lord, let it be peaceful in our hearts, Lord God, because we know what it was that you did at the cross, and that can never be undone by any person, by any group, by any government, Father God, by any nation, can never be undone, Lord God. And Lord God, that the pathway into salvation, the pathway into your kingdom remains open, Lord. But we declare today, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let us be out there, Father God, with that message in our hearts, but also in our mouths, Lord. Let it be that hope that we speak, Lord God, that there's salvation in Christ. And the realization and the belief and faith, Lord God, that when we begin to speak, the Holy Spirit falls, Lord God, and convicted hearts are the result. Lord, we give you thanks for all of these things today, Lord God. Thank you for your work upon the cross. Lord, we declare and determine to make it personal, Lord, in our lives, that we'd not be found being religious, but, Father, we'd be about the business of your relationship, Lord, and being in relationship with you, Lord. And everybody said today, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all. We're going to finish with a song now. And as we close, I'm just going to make an invitation that, look, there's some things that we've talked about today, and there's just that possibility there's someone in here today, maybe a few that are in here today, who've never understood this, never understood this message, never understood that there is an action to take in response to the message that you've heard. There's something that you can do. And I just want to just again make an invitation this morning that if you've never prayed a prayer of salvation, if you've never said, Jesus, come into my life, if you've never invited him to come and you've never made him Lord of your life, let me tell you, that's life-changing. That's life-changing. And you know, when you do it from your heart and you speak those words of salvation from your mouth, the Lord does something with it. He comes into your life. He comes in and makes himself known. And we talk about relationship with God because we know it's a reality. We talk about it because we've had it. We enjoy it. It's something that we do on a daily basis. It's just this wonderful relationship with the Lord. And if you've not had that and you've not actually invited the Lord into your life before, I encourage you. As we finish singing this song, we're going to close and people are going to turn their attention, you know, the redeemed of the Lord are going to turn their attention to maybe the fellowship and the pumpkin soup and the hot cross buns. And that's all very well. But if you're here today and you say, I've never prayed that prayer before, I'd like to pray that prayer. If that's you here today, I'd like you to come on down the front. I'll hang around down the front here a little while just to catch you and just to receive you. But I just want to make that invitation very clear. You know, I prayed that prayer as a 21-year-old in the suburb of Morley in Perth in 1983, April, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. For those who know me. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I tell you, it was life-changing. And I was baptised in water as well, and such was the change that came as a result of that prayer that I actually thought that they'd put something in the water. And the other gentleman that I was baptised with, a young Indigenous man, I said to him in the change rooms, I said, do you feel any different? I was sort of, you know, as we were getting back into our dry clothes, I said, do you feel any different? He goes, no, not really. And I said, I reckon they put something in the water. Because I felt clean, you know. I felt that change. And the thing I obviously came to understand and know was that it was not that I was clean on the outside or they put something in the water, that God had come in on the inside and cleansed me. And that's what we need, amen? We need that cleansing. It doesn't come from the water. It comes from the believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth. Amen? Amen. God bless you all. So good to have you with us today. And as I say, we're going to finish this song and then dismiss. we'll enjoy some fellowship. So for all our visitors that are with us today, God bless you for coming along and taking some time out from your holidays to be with us. So enjoy the rest of it, and may your kilometres be blessed as you go from here. If you're driving, you have safety as you go, and enjoy the rest of your Easter weekend. God bless you.